Welcome to the Step Up Your Business podcast. This is a weekly show brought to you by the Business Advisory Center Durham. In these episodes, we'll talk about everything to do with business, how to get started, how to grow your business. You'd meet some of our clients that we work with and upcoming events that are going on in our region. We'd love you to join us every week and hopefully take away something that you can implement into your business. Even though we are in the Durham region, a lot of the business advice and information is applicable to all businesses. Thank you and stay tuned. Good morning, everybody. It's Teresa Shaver from the Business Advisory Center Durham, and I'm really glad and excited to have Jen Gallien and John Cook from Coolway Sports with us. Hello, guys.
Hi. Good morning.
So nice to have you both. We wanted to actually talk today about how COVID has affected their business and also what they've been able to do. But before we get into that, John, please tell us a little bit about Coolway Sports and how it came about.
So Coolway Sports is a second company. Jennifer was involved in the first one. And we started Coolway Sports back in basically 2008, 2009. Our mission is to custom design and manufacture here in Durham region outerwear for individuals using mobility. It's really that they can achieve their maximum level of independence for themselves, their families, and their caregivers. And all our manufacturing and staff and everything is here in Durham region. And we only buy Canadian milled materials. And we started, 2009 with zero, and now we're a full international company headquartered here in Durham region.
That's exciting. I'm going to ask Jen a question. I'd love to know, Jen, what do you say the pain is that you're solving for customers in your market?
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks, Teresa, for having us on today. It means a lot to both of us. We basically are solving addressing problem for people with disabilities. Our products are warm. They keep them warm, dry, and comfortable. Even though it's COVID, people still need to get outside. And I think getting outside is a very important thing, even if it's for a few moments, even if it's just to go around the block to get fresh air. This is our new normal now. So we have to figure out different ways of doing things, and people with disabilities still need to get outside.
Right.
So we're solving, first of all, the dressing problem. And the great thing about our coats is that there's a zipper under the sleeves, a zippered off waist, blanket front, blanket back, that all zippers, it's a zipper combination. And all these things you can see on the website. We have videos of how our coats work. And it's just a great Canadian made product. We're really trying to, tell people to buy local, shop Canadian made. We're now part of the Ontario made strategy going on, where we're promoting Ontario made products. We are part of the program.
Excellent.
And we're proud of it.
Right. I think that's one of the coolest things that I know about your products, that it's really helping parents and caregivers help people dress and be comfortable and also be warm, right? Because I remember you telling me this years ago when you told me about the coats, there's just so many things that able-bodied people don't think about how hard it is actually to dress someone and to help someone feel comfortable and warm and dry. And your coats, the way you've adapted them, the adaptive clothing, right? You've adapted it to help people that are have whatever their varying abilities are, right?
Exactly.
That's very cool. Now to talk about the elephant in the room, COVID. How has that affected your business? What happened in the beginning?
Well, okay. So back, we had our most successful December last year, and January and February continued with success. We had orders basically in the hopper. We had orders that were paid for that would take our staff basically to mid-April to manufacture. And we had about 20 other orders. And when COVID hit, the 1st of March, we started phoning the 20 pending orders. And all of them said, we're going to delay. We're going to put our money on hold. We don't know what's going to happen with us and everything else. So the end of March, we were actually approached by two or three different groups on making masks.
Right.
Our concern is we wanted to keep the staff in Durham still working.
Mm-hmm.
We do not qualify for any government grants the way our company's been structured. So it is us. and we're on our own. And we were also approached by Health Canada. We had a phone call with them and Mars out of Toronto, the big group in Mars. And we weren't sure what the call was about, but he was pitching for us to make masks. And he said, okay, we want Kuhle to make masks for the federal government. Here's where you need to buy the material. We need three layers of material. Here's the material. Contact the mill. I contacted the mill. The minimum order was 10,000 meters of material. And it was going to cost an investment of $500,000.
How does a small
independent business person do that? Mm-hmm. So Jennifer and I sat down and we said, listen, we want to keep the staff working. Let's make a proper gown. Let's make a gown. So on a Wednesday, we decided let's start researching. So Jennifer went down into where she's sitting right now, into her basement. We call it the archives of the archives. In the middle of the night, she found a binder with a gentleman's phone number in the States. Mm-hmm. She called him on Thursday and he said, well, I could sell it to you, but I got a friend, you know, of somebody in Canada that does this material. So we set up a call, and Jen, I'll let you take over from what happened on Friday.
What happened was, you know, you always have a roster of great suppliers, you know, in your toolbox. And you never know when these suppliers are going to appear again. So I was just racking my brain. Like, we have suppliers in the States that do medical supply equipment. So I thought, okay, I'd grab the binder from the archives, call the guy and say, listen, we would like to make, you know, these proper gowns. So we were really, it was important to us to do something right. We weren't just going to jump into this without the proper specs on the material, because this is important to us that we make a product that is sustainable as well. So when I talked to him, he said, well, we don't have that in our manufacturing, but we have a great Canadian manufacturer that we work with. And I'm like, what? We have a Canadian mill that is milling the level 2 AAMI product, the fabric. And he said, yes, here is his name. I was so excited. We reached out to him, and it just turns out that he already knew us. And he said, well, you were in my office, Jenny and John, 10 years ago.
We
talked about our Commander product. That's our Commander fabric that we use for our coats. So it was a great pivot. It was exciting. Our staff were excited to be on board with us. They said, really, you're going to keep us working during this COVID? And I said, yes, this is important to us that we continue to work. We continue to fill a need for people,
right?
And especially those with disabilities. They've already been isolated. I don't think people realize the families that have children and loved ones with disabilities. They are living an isolated lifestyle already. They need products. They need attention. They need more now than ever assistance. And so I started reaching out to them, basically saying, if we made these gowns, would this be something you would be interested in? Almost like a focus group.
Right.
And I thought, well, what? We are already doing business with these people. Why not reach out to them and just say, is this something you need and want? We had a very good reaction to it.
So when you say gowns, what do you mean? I was thinking, are they hospital gowns? Are they for the medical?
So
I'm not
it
sure.
It looks like a hospital gown, but it's a reusable. So all the ones you see on TV are throwaway. The landfill sites, you think about plastic cups, plastic bottles, horrendous amount of landfill going with the gowns.
Right.
That's why we wanted to make it reusable. So the pivoting only took us about less than a month. Mm-hmm. After the call on Friday, I had them shipped to here, 10 meters. We took it to one of our staff who was doing a pattern for us. Mm-hmm. She did the pattern. She made a sample. We, through a group in Toronto, I took it into the lady and for a focus group, gave her 3 days to come back. We gave pretty tight timelines. Yeah. She came. I met her at her home in Ajax. She critiqued it with me. We went back to our pattern person. We made some tweaks, minor tweaks only. Mm-hmm. And then we looked at the sample and we said, let's run with it. Yeah. So we had material I did have to go into Toronto and buy a brand new sewing type machine for one of our staff. We said, listen, we wanted all our staff to be employed, but it's a big expense. You know, when you're talking over $1,000, it's a big expense for an individual to go and do it. So I went into Toronto, went to the first place, 9 o'clock in the morning. The guy wouldn't even let me in. I had to stand at his loading dock. When I finished that, I was going to go to the bank and get the money for him. And then I called Jennifer and said, listen, there's somebody else. Yeah. And Jennifer, one of her neighbors, who I believe makes wedding dresses, uses this supplier for machines. Yeah. So Jennifer called him. He said, yeah, John, come and see me. So I walked out 3 hours later, spending over $1,000 with a machine in my car.
Yeah. Well, we make things happen, basically. Yeah. John's trying to tell you. We're people of action. We get her done, right, John?
We don't accept no as an answer.
So now who are you making these gowns for?
Right.
Go ahead, Jen.
Okay, so what I did is first thing. Okay, who are we already selling to? Group homes. I called all the community livings, the ARC, all across Canada. We put out an e-blast. We were actually pre-selling, to tell you the truth.
Best way to do it.
Right, because this was still in, you know, preliminary stages. We were getting all the suppliers in line, you know, supplies had to be shipped, whatnot. So there was that whole procurement thing we had to do as well. So in doing that, we had some time and we basically just said to people, we sent out a kit, you know, all the details of the gown, the price point, the specs, and people were very excited. They wanted them now. They you know, when can I get these? So we just put the timeline together and we said we will be shipping between four to 5 weeks out. So we had our staff lined up. John, of course, had to get the machine for one of our sewers. So it was a special machine.
Industrial?
Sergers. Everybody had to have a serger. Everybody had to have the proper sewing machine. And we were all sewing the same gown the same way. And, with a tech pack and doing it right, you know. So we're basically got it all running now smoothly. I do the shipping labels. John does all the shipping.
Are you picking up? You pick it all up from your sewers as well, I guess.
To get me myself out and to get my wife out off her job. Every night we would do a loop between basically Curtis, Ontario, all the way out to Ajax at two or three stops every night, and we just kept it flowing. You know, 5-6 days a week, our orders have been we've had a lot out of British Columbia, a lot in Ontario, Northern Ontario especially, and we've also had a couple in the States.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's amazing, because now this is being used. So are these gowns being used for the caregivers or for the actual people they're caregiving for?
Can be used for both. So families are buying them. But also the caregiver, the big community livings, like the or the
Christian, so they go into someone's house, so they give them
or Christian Horizons, who have 4,000 staff,
right?
And they have like 10,000. They have like 10,000 clients in homes across Ontario, and they're just concerned. They want to be prepared. We're seeing the second wave now, which is worse than the first wave. They want to be prepared. But also, we've had clients come to us, actually a lady just north of where Jennifer lives in Port Perry, bought six of them because her mother's in Ottawa and moved from one senior's home to another one. And the home's up in Ottawa now because it's one of the hot spots.
Yeah.
They make the family members wear masks, gloves, and now gowns. Mm-hmm. And the beauty is it's the reusable part. So it's the mill has said that these can be washed 100-120 times or more and not lose the conformity to the level two. And that's what we wanted.
Right.
Most medical surgical. It's not recommended for surgery where there's where there's a lot of fluid. That's where they go to level three and level four.
Right.
But one of the big disappointments, like we applied to Health Canada and Health Ontario to be one of the recognized PPE manufacturers. Mm-hmm. And we finally got accepted. It took a month long to get acceptance. Yeah. And
they don't move fast.
And the only thing that's produced with us posting, every day we both get 10 or 15 worldwide companies trying to sell us PPE.
Yeah, or lists. Yeah.
Or lists.
It's the new commodity, right? So tell me about the garment. So you wear it once, then you've got to wash it?
Depending on your situation. Right. If there isn't a lot of fluid, you don't need to wash it right away, but washing's easy. Don't use industrial detergents. Put it in your wash. Do a lukewarm wash and put it in the dryer on a no heat, or hang it up and wear it right away.
And what do they look like, these gowns? Oh, am I going to look good on an airplane with one?
Can I get one?
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, and you made them blue too. Oh,
yeah, it's all surgical blue. So the main material's from Quebec. The cuffing is from Siltex out of Winnipeg.
I've heard of Siltex. The
bias tape is from Canso, which is the thread company in Canada. So
okay.
There's the cuffing. I could put it on. So it just goes on, you know, regular.
Like a regular gown with the back open?
Right.
Yeah, it's got ties at the top and ties at the bottom.
I mean, does it need to have the back open if it's like for people just going to visit their family, or is that because you can take it on and off easy?
You can take it on and off, and one size fits all.
One size fits all.
So that's...
Yeah.
And...
With the ties? Yeah.
When we first talked, we had people say, well, you know, I need small, medium, large, and we said, no, we can't... To manufacture it and everything else, we can't have the different sizes. So, but that's why when we took it to our focus group, we turned around and said we need to make some changes in the upper shoulders. The under the armpit was a little little snug. Tighter. It was snug.
That looks and good. Damaged inside. Yeah, great awesome. Product.
So we even sourced out special bags. So the special bag, and we learned this from Amazon Zappos in the States, when you have a plastic bag, you have to have a disclaimer on the bag. And so we went to Uline, and Uline, of course, is the big box company. We went to Uline, and I measured the gown. I measured what we wanted. They came back. So basically, the disclaimer on the bag says, this bag is not a toy. Please, once you take it out, throw it away.
Right. But, choking hazard.
And that, and going back to why we didn't make masks, I was, my background is high level insurance and reinsurance and stuff. I was worried about third party liability.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of masks out there that people are making from curtains and bed sheets that are not going to protect anybody. And we were afraid that if our name was on it, I don't want to get a phone call from someone that's now got COVID. Right. Because they wore one of our masks.
Fair
and
enough.
That's why we said let's make a true level two gown that mm-hmm. conforms to all the Canadian and U.S. standards.
That's right. And research, always researching the product before we make it, you know, check all the boxes, basically.
But from the president of the company, I'm going to say that with the success of not just our regular products, but the gowns, is the fact that Jennifer hit the social media world big time, fast, even before we had a product done.
Yeah.
And that's what got the interest up.
Yeah. So, and I would also say she did business development, right? Phoning, emailing, following up. It's like, it's the standards of business and you can't just give up. You've got to do
it. Well, and Jennifer says, hey, why don't you phone? So she'd call me and say, hey, call the president and Kitchener of this company, see what we want. And, you know, I, even though nothing happened, I had a phone call one morning at about 7:30 in the morning. He introduced himself. He was president of Tilly Hats.
Yeah.
Tilly Hats pivoted to making gowns. And he heard from the world of his world that we were making level two gowns. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to buy gowns from us to fulfill some of his orders.
And did he?
No.
Probably found a cheaper supplier somewhere.
Not at all.
He got a donation.
Okay.
He got a donation of fabric. So that was his little aha. Yeah.
That was good for him.
Yeah, good for him. We would love to have a donation of fabric. And we'd love it if people would donate to us, and we and in turn would manufacture. But you know, those things all happen when they're supposed to happen.
That's very true. Very true.
I've learned that.
Anyway, just to finish off, I want to say thank you to both of you for your time. Really great to hear of a business that's doing well. I will have all your contact information in the description box so that if people want to get in touch with you, for sure. It does go on our newsletter, and it goes on our social media, and it goes on our YouTube channel. So we'll definitely be able to promote that. And I'm so happy to hear that, you know, the local success story.
Oh, thank you.
the other thing, I think it was like about the 27th of July, our winter orders started to roll in again. And we are every day we're getting new order requests to quote on the winter stuff now, which is fantastic.
Can I just end with like a happy note?
Yeah, sure.
We're actually launching a new website called Cool Give. Okay. So we are now facilitating coats that people want to donate back, and we're finding families that they will fit. So we're like doing a pay it forward. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah. So that's good. That's very, it's going to happen very soon. And
just did our first one last week, and I just got notification from FedEx that the code is coming from Alberta.
That's right.
And I'm going to queue and see it here, and I'm going to see if we need to do any minor repairs, and it's going to Ottawa.
That's right.
Fantastic.
And a lady that is donating wants to order another coat for her son, and then she'll get a discount for the.
Right. That's wonderful. Thank you.
So that's how we're helping.
Thank you. That's wonderful news. So I really appreciate chatting to you both again, and keep doing the good work that you're doing. You guys are amazing.
Well, we're proud that we're honored to have your support from day one.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're proud to be a Durham. We just need to get the word out more.
Thank you for being a guest today on our podcast. This is Teresa Shaver signing off from the Business Advisory Center, Durham, and we hope that you will join us next week. Take care, guys.